Welcome, and thank you for joining us for today's IBM teleconference, OmegaMon and Systems Alert Management Strategies and Best Practices. Today's teleconference will be recorded, will last approximately 60 minutes, and will include a live question and answer session. In this teleconference, you'll learn more about the various alert and problem notification capabilities of the OmegaMon solution. The speaker for today's teleconference is Ed Woods, Consulting IT Specialist, IBM Corporation. At this time, I would like to hand it over to our speaker, Ed Woods.
Thank you. My name is, again, is Ed Woods with IBM Corporation, and we're here today to talk about OmegaMon and System Z alert management strategies and best practices. Alert management, I think, is a very important topic when we're talking about monitoring system management, et cetera, because the quality and value and meaningfulness of the alerts and how you gather these alerts and where they go and how they're managed, I think is very important in terms of getting the good bang for the buck out of your investment in monitoring and management technology. And so we're going to talk quite a bit about alert management, the technologies, the capabilities from an OmegaMon perspective, but also just from a general IBM Tivoli monitoring perspective, but then also best practices in terms of how you can take advantage of and exploit this function capability. So let's go to the next slide that says agenda. So we'll first talk about the basics of OmegaMon alert management. We'll look at our core 3270 interfaces, look at alert technologies, starting out in the early days of the OmegaMon technology in terms of what you had there in terms of alert management capabilities, alert creation and generation. We'll talk about integration with NetView, integration with automation. Then we'll look at the Tivoli Enterprise Portal, which is the latest and greatest technology. The unique capabilities of the Tivoli Enterprise Portal, how the portal or the TEP gives you some very powerful and flexible function and capability. We'll talk about situations, about policies, how those are very powerful and useful. We'll talk about types of alerts, types of notifications. What are the various categories of alerts? What are the alerts that I typically find most useful? We'll talk about just general strategies and best practices, focusing on getting the meaning and value out of the whole alert management paradigm and tuning out the noise, which I think is a very important part of this whole process. You want to tune out the noise, tune out the background chatter, because that in turn enables you to get more quickly to the root cause of a problem if you do have an issue on your system. Talk about pulling together an integrated alert management methodology. More and more, I think, having an integrated methodology is essential because applications are multi-layered, multi-component, sophisticated, complex nowadays. And a single technology in and of itself is not necessarily going to get it done. You need to have a multi-leveled, multi-layered approach that ties together information from a variety of sources to really be able to get down the root cause analysis. We'll talk about integration with such core technologies as IBM NetCool Omnibus, how Omnibus can function as a correlation engine, how that provides you with the integrated view of what's happening in the enterprise, and then we'll talk about recommendations, pulling it all together, making it more meaningful and useful, truly the best practices approach. So let's go to the next slide that says in the beginning. So in the beginning, now we're talking 20-plus years ago, you had your core OmegaMon, say, for example, like in here we're looking at OmegaMon for ZOS. You had your classic 3270 interface. You had what's called your menu system. You had what's called command mode. OmegaMon 3270 at its core is made up of a series of commands, what are called major and minor commands. And these commands, in turn, then can be used to create what are called alerts, or the term we use at the 3270 level is exceptions. Each of the core OmegaMons has a set of out-of-the-box exceptions that are available. So whether we're talking OmegaMon ZOS, DB2, IMS, CICS, et cetera, each of those in turn has a set of exceptions that can trigger alerts on what's happening on various systems, components, et cetera. So you could have exceptions for such things as CPU usage, elapsed time, poor response time, high paging rates, whatever you may find valuable in terms of your environment. So if we go to the next slide, this says classic exceptions. So our classic exceptions, like in this example here, I have two windows I've screenshot. The back window shows an example of some of the exceptions that would come out of an OmegaMon MVS view. So we have an XREP exception that shows that we have more than a certain number of outstanding replies. We have some paging exceptions, some NQ weight exceptions, etc. These are all being driven by settings, such as what we have in the foreground window here, where we're looking at an example of the XREP exception. So if we look in the middle of that foreground window where it says threshold equals 1, that's the number that we're checking against. So the bottom line is, if whatever we're checking it exceeds that particular threshold level, we get an alert. If it's below that level, then we don't get an alert. This is an example of what I call really just a basic single metric type of alert or single metric type of exception. Over on the right-hand side of the foreground window, we see an option that says persist. So if you kind of look over to the right about two-thirds of the way down, you'll see persist equals 0. The persist option or persistence option is something you can set so that if I don't want to have an alert every time there's an Omegamon cycle, I want this to be true for multiple intervals in a row, I can set that option to something other than 0. So maybe set it to a 1, a 2, a 3, whatever makes sense. So that has to be true multiple times in a row before it actually kicks out an alert. This type of thing can be useful to filter out spike-type events. A lot of systems, regardless of whether we're talking ZOS or distributed boxes, whatever we're talking, you can have spike-type things where the CPU might spike up, spike down, network might surge up, surge down. And so you don't necessarily want to be alerted on every individual event. You want to perhaps be alerted when there's a consistent issue. So this is an example of setting exceptions in Classic. These settings are in turn then stored in something called a profile member, and you can have one or multiple of these profile members. So you could have a profile member that's crafted, for example, for your test systems, your production systems, test CICSs, prod CICSs, daytime, nighttime processing, weekend processing, whatever makes sense. The profile members, when we're talking Classic Omegamon, are really just literally members in a partition data set, and you can keep them, maintain them, copy them, manage them, however you choose to do it. Let's go to the next slide that says Classic Interface as an alert and notification mechanism. So Classic Interface is useful, and still I see it used quite commonly in many shops. In particular, when I go into the operational area in the console room, where I will see, like in this example here, a Classic screen that will be up running somewhere, and it will show such key information as CPU, maybe something waiting on an NQ, maybe a few exceptions like the exception view that we saw in one of the prior slides. The idea is to basically have just some key information up there running on a green screen. The user, the operator, may have these things running in an auto-update mode. Now, the downside of using this technique is that, like in this example here, I'm monitoring 4 LPARs, an MVS A, B, C, and D. Well, I'm going to need to have a session for each of these. So the good news is that it's easy to set up and set exceptions and alerts. The downside is that I don't have really an easy ability using this Core 3270 technology to easily integrate it. I need something else to pull it together. Let's go to the next slide. CUA 3270 interface provided additional alert options. So the next slide shows kind of the next generation of pulling this together. So here's one way that a lot of this stuff was pulled together at the 3270 layer, and this is what's called CUA interface. CUA provided a nice way to pull together alerts from a variety of sources, tie these things together, and give you an integrated kind of a view. In this example, we're looking at MVS, DB2, IMS, CICS, as well as multiple LPARs, all on the single screen. Here's another thing that the CUA approach provided is a more robust use of color, using color to highlight issues, and then have a color bar that would give you kind of a history. So if you look on the right-hand side of the screen where we have the Omega View display, and then I've taken a portion of that screen and kind of exploded it up so you can see it a little more easily, you'll see, for example, a color bar for CPU and workloads and missing tasks. And like looking at the CPU color bar, on the right side you see red, which is the current status, and then the rest of the bar is, in essence, a 15-minute history. So CUA gives you a more robust use of color, gives you levels, and gives you a little bit of an idea of what's going on over time for a particular exception. Still being driven by the same core exceptions, but gives you a little more flexibility. In addition, the CUA interface through Omega View provided a technique to also forward these alerts onto the program interface to NetView. If we go to the next slide that says Omegamon CUA exceptions and thresholds, what we're looking at here is how you would set these exceptions in the CUA interface. And you see there's one key difference. If you remember the prior slide, like a couple slides ago, you had a single metric number. If it was above the number, it was an alert. If it was below the number, it wasn't. Here we have a warning as well as a critical value. Therein lies the key difference. So you have the same core set of exceptions in the sense that we'll have the XRAP exception, or like in this case, these are DB2 examples, but the same idea. But the difference is now we have a little more granularity in that we can have a yellow warning as well as a red critical. So a little more flexibility, some more options, more robust use of color, et cetera. So each step along the way of this evolution, the alerting becomes a little more granular, a little more meaningful, a little more flexible. Still built on the same kind of premise, though, in that you have profiles in which these settings are stored, and so you could have different profiles for different types of workloads, whatever. Let's go to the next slide that says Omegamon interface with automation, integration with classic interface. So Omegamon can integrate at the 3270 level with IBM system automation or with AF operator, et cetera, whatever your automation engine is in your shop. And IBM system automation provides a true bidirectional interface with Omegamon Classic, like in this screenshot here. So what we're looking at is basically IBM system automation has the ability to detect a classic exception, and if it detects that classic exception, to go ahead and then drive some form of a Rex exec for some type of an automated action. In addition, IBM system automation may also go and issue Omegamon commands, not necessarily exceptions, but just other Omegamon commands, because remember, all the Omegamon screens are made up of these major and minor commands, and then pull back the results of that, and then in turn parse those and use that as input as well to drive more intelligent Rex execs. So this is kind of a fundamental basis for more intelligent performance management capability in that you're not just looking, for example, at console messages, but actually getting core performance information, response time data, paging data, CPU data, whatever makes sense. In addition, these execs may also be used to forward alerts in the form of traps, typically, into NetCool Omnibus, but then there's also other techniques as well that I'll mention later. I do have quite a few customers that will use this technique to forward information either in the form of console messages as well as Omegamon alerts, issue traps, send them to NetCool and Omnibus. And we'll talk a lot more about NetCool Omnibus in a bit. Now, when we're going to the next slide, it says classic and CUA 3270 alert mechanisms considerations. Here's some of the core considerations when we're talking about this technology. Setting your alerts at the 3270 level, it's pretty easy to do. Just go and set some threshold numbers. It gets stored in profiles. It's a kind of a proven technology, and that's something that's been around for quite a while. Each of the Omegamons comes with a predefined set of these. So you have a laundry list with each core Omegamon of alerts that you can set. And so if you set it at the CUA versus the classic level, you may get a little more flexibility, a little more options in terms of colors and things like that. But, of course, there are trade-offs as well. Looking at some additional considerations kind of going on down the list here. So, for example, if I wanted then in turn drive some automated actions, well, you can use classic interface and do some clever things. In classic, there are some things such as automated screen facility wherein you can go and issue a screen to be executed based off of an exception and things like that. It's a little low-tech, as I call it, but it can work in certain cases. In general, these types of things are best done interfacing to some type of an automation engine. Again, each of the Omegamons has a predefined set of exceptions for that Omegamon to monitor. And again, each of these are stored in profiles, and you may have multiple profiles. So one of the challenges may be the creation of the profiles, the retention of the profiles, the managing of the profiles, using the right profile to match the right workloads, et cetera. If If we're talking alert correlation, though, these are useful techniques when we're talking about generating alerts. When we talk about correlating alert, now what do I mean by correlating alert? Basically taking an alert or an event that's detected at one point in the end-to-end view of an application and correlating with an event that might be detected at some other point in the application view. Typical applications, as I said before, are composite, complex in nature, multiple hops, multiple core technologies. How do I know that that paging rate or that lockout, that deadlock, whatever I'm detecting on the ZOS side, has some relevance to a response time issue that I've detected all the way at the other end of the application? How do I correlate these two events into some kind of a meaningful whole? Let's go to the next slide. It says visibility, control, automation. I like to talk about alerts because I view alerts as a very important part of an overall management strategy. At Tivoli, we use the term visibility, control, automation. Those are three core pieces that you typically want to have a kind of a holistic view of what's going on and be able to manage things effectively and efficiently. So visibility on the left is the first key part in that in order to be able to address an issue, I have to be able to know the issue has occurred. I have to be able to see it or be notified of it, be aware of it, be able to find it, drill down on it, and then go and address it by whatever technique I may have. Control, then, is the next phase. Once I know I have the alert, how do I address it? Well, I can address it in a couple different ways. The first aspect of control is being able to just do a manual corrective action. Like in this case here, if you look closely in the window, we see we're doing a manual take action, which is part of the Tivoli Enterprise Portal. But I could also then have the technology itself manage the technology. In other words, automation and contained within OmegaMon, or automation in the form of IBM system automation or some other type of automated technology to do the corrective action. Now, if you look closely at the example here, we see automation is a corrective action being issued at machine speed in the form of a policy within the Tivoli Enterprise Portal. So visibility, control, automation, three pieces of the puzzle. If we go to the next slide that says an event management strategy, usually when I'm looking at an overall event management strategy, and when I talk about strategy, I'm talking about more than just generating some alerts at the lowest, OmegaMon classic monitoring level, but actually doing something downstream in a meaningful fashion with these alerts. You can typically look at this at three core layers. At the highest level, you have your high-level analysis. That's your integrated view. That's your correlation management. That's your correlation with your business application views. Some shops might term this your manager of managers, whatever makes sense in your environment. So at the highest level, like I show on this example here, we have the IBM NetCool Omnibus integrated with the IBM TBSM, Tivoli Business Service Manager. So Omnibus provides the correlation engine capability. It also then provides the foundation to be able to correlate this information back to a business application view. So at this level, we're looking at things not so much as at a technical nitty-gritty level, but more at an integrated end-to-end kind of a view, and then also correlating it back to what is the impact on the business itself. The next level down is what I call the integrated technical view. This is, again, going to typically be some type of an end-to-end technical view, in that we'll see the technical flow of an application or set of applications or the interrelationships of some core technical systems. We're not necessarily looking at things from the perspective of a business app, but we are trying to understand things from the perspective of how an application integrates and how you do problem isolation from the end-to-end perspective. Because, again, so many pieces and parts and components in a typical application. This integrated technical view then pushes down to what I call the technical detail view. That's more the deep dive analysis view. That's at the level where I've drilled down from my end-to-end perspective, and now I'm doing things like looking at address spaces or DB2 threads or paging or CPU or if we're talking in open systems, distributed environment, we could be looking at processes, memory, disk utilization, whatever it is, regardless of whatever the platform is, progressively drilling down from the high level down to the low level technical detail analysis. Now, in the case of Omegamon running on ZOS, our technical detail view could take the form of drilling down to a 3270 classic view. Could also take the form of drilling into a detailed view in the, via the TIVL Enterprise portal, whatever makes sense, whatever type of information you're drilling down to. So three levels of view: high level, integrated technical, technical detail. So go to the next slide. The benefits of an integrated alert management methodology. As I said, the applications are complex, integrated, many pieces, many parts, many components, subsystems, network hops, databases, middleware components. How do you analyze and manage this kind of an environment effectively? Well, the benefit, first of all, is if I do have an end-to-end integrated alert management approach, is I will probably be able to reduce the time it takes to resolve a problem, be able to isolate the problem more quickly, identify an issue more rapidly, just physically be able to see the problem, and then drill in and get down to root cause analysis. So if I can reduce the time to find the problem, I can then in turn be able to isolate it and more effectively fix it. Part of improved event management and problem isolation is having more meaningful and useful alerts. One of the things that I always look for is that if alerts are being created by whatever the monitoring technology is, that those alerts have meaning, they're useful, and they actually do serve to indicate a true issue. A lot of times where customers may struggle is they may do a good job in terms of deploying the core technology, getting everything to talk, being able to create and roll out alerts, but they may get too aggressive in terms of creating too many alerts. Too many alerts can be, in a lot of ways, more insidious than not having the appropriate alerts, and that too many alerts create noise, create chatter, and will tend to mask the true underlying problems. So you want to tune out the noise. And that kind of goes towards the next bullet point. Improved event correlation and management. By having an integrated approach, by having a consistent methodology, I'll be able to more effectively eliminate the background noise and get down to what the key issues truly are. So all of these things taken together, in turn then, get me towards the final bullet point, which is a better performance analysis capability, better monitoring and management capability. Now, being able to rely on real performance data and not just anecdotal kind of information. So let's go to the next slide that says categories of typical alerts. IBM mainframe and distributed monitoring each can fall into these realms. These are just general categories. It's not specific to mainframe. This is just just general monitoring best practice across the board. Anytime I'm considering what alerts I want to create, categories, types of alerts, whatever my management paradigm is, I probably want to have alerts that fall into each of these three realms. On the top level is availability. Is the subsystem up? Am I able to log on? Is the network functional? Is the database talking? Am I able to log on to the system? Are all the pieces and parts there up, available, functional? That's the core of availability. Then at the bottom we have performance and resource. And you might say, well, what's the difference between the two? Well, performance, I'm typically going to put that into the realm of performance, say, perhaps as experienced by the end user. What's the response time as experienced by the end user? What's the overall response time and throughput of the application? What's the overall response time, even just as measured, say, at the CICS level? What's the response time and throughput overall of the network? I need to have good overall performance. But on the right-hand side, I want to monitor my resource utilization. How am I doing from a CPU cycle perspective? How am I doing from a paging perspective? How am I doing from a buffer utilization perspective? All of these things may be important to track. They may or may not impact performance. They may or may not impact availability. But at times it may be useful to track resource utilization Because if you have huge fluctuations in resource utilization, that may in turn then drive other potential issues down the road. So all three of these categories typically want to be covered in some manner or form. And this is true whether we're talking ZOS, whether we're talking Linux, Unix, Windows, databases, you know, whatever. So let's go to the next slide that says alert notification, types and options. There's very many different ways you can see alerts, understand alerts, get be made aware of alerts. So you have your typical, your visual views. That could be a GUI technology screen. That could be TBSM. That could be Tivoli Enterprise Portal. That could be a classic screen with an exception highlighted in red. Whatever the technology is at some level, you want to be notified. So usually one of the first ways people might do things is set up some type of a visual view. Highlight in color. If you have the GUI technology, the Tivoli Portal deployed, that's a great way to go. If you have TBSM, then you have even more capabilities to then push to the next level and correlate it also relative to the business application. Next level of notification might be just the form of messages. Since we're talking ZOS as our primary platform here, now we're talking console messages, having the monitoring technology or something else push out messages to the ZOS console. That can in turn then be picked up by automation. You could have paging and emails. Most automation engines have some type of technique that if I can push a message out to the ZOS console, the automation engine could then in turn kick off some type of a Rex exec to drive an email, an SMTP email or something of that nature. If you're talking other platforms, there's a variety of readily available technologies to issue emails and things of that nature. SNMP, Simple Network Management Protocol, traps and alerts. I do have quite a few customers that will do such things as have actually, for example, in a message from the ZOS console that in turn then drives a Rex exec, and then that exec could then in turn kick off a trap that gets sent, say, for example, the NetCool Omnibus. NetCool Omnibus, something I alluded to before, that is more of our correlation engine. That's going to take that event and then perhaps correlate it with other events, and we'll talk more about NetCool Omnibus in a bit. And there's a variety of ways to get to that. I mentioned traps. You can also send things via the EIF event interface. I'll talk about the EIF interface in a bit. Also, you could have alerts that get sent to what I call third party. Now, I use the term third party, meaning a non-IBM type of technology. I've had quite a few customers over the years, for example, ask me how they could do such things as take exception alerts from Omegamon running on Z and forward those alerts to, say, HP OpenView, for example. So let's go to the next slide. So the Tivoli Enterprise Portal provides an alert management interface. So the Tivoli Enterprise Portal, or the TEP, provides a great mechanism to get that integrated technical end-to-end type of view. The beauty of the GUI is you have so much flexibility and power in it. As I alluded to earlier, 3270 is a great deep dive interface. 3270 provides a lot of alert out-of-the-box alert capabilities, but it's not a paradigm to manage things really from an end-to-end kind of a perspective. There's inherent limitations, especially when you're talking about applications that by their very nature are going to go from ZOS outside of ZOS to other platforms and then back. Here in the Tivoli Enterprise Portal, we're looking at the base event view or enterprise view that you get out of the box. We have our navigation in the upper left corner that you scroll. We see our alerts in the upper right. We see messages in the lower right, and the number of events or situations that have fired over in the lower left corner. This is the standard out-of-the-box enterprise view. If we go to the next slide, it says TBSM provides event management and business systems management perspectives. TBSM takes that notion I mentioned of end-to-end and pushes it on up to a higher level. Now, typically, you're going to look at these things from two perspectives. One is just starting out, perhaps, with just core event management. Do our event management, do your event correlation, pull these events together from a variety of sources, and then on the upper level, the business perspective. Then in turn, taking those events and correlating them back to the core business systems. How does that outage, that issue, that challenge, that physical failure in turn then drive an impact on the actual business application as seen by the user. Let's go to the next slide. It says IBM Tivoli Service Management Center for System Z. So starting from the premise, as I mentioned in the prior slide, or actually the prior couple slides, of the portal and then going to TBSM, and now we're looking at things from the perspective of the Service Management Center for System Z. What is that all about? Ultimately, Service Management Center for System Z is a strategy to enable clients to use System Z as your integrated enterprise-wide hub for managing a variety of business IT services. Just like that blurb on the top says, that's what it's about. And that's what the Tivoli strategy is about, is providing the instrumentation, the management capabilities, the methodologies to manage, in our case here, System Z, with that perspective in mind. So we're talking process management, service management, operational management. So a lot of things that we'll be discussing today are covered in some of these boxes we see in the right portion of the slide. So like at the bottom, we see NetView, we see Omegamon, we see IBM Composite Application Manager. We see mention of system automation. Continuing on up the top portions, we'll see references to TBSM. Also very, very useful technology, such as in the middle, the IBM Tivoli Application Discovery Dependency Manager, or TADM as we call it. That's a component that can go out and analyze and map applications and then use that as an input to give you a better understanding of what's going on in your systems. All of this stuff pulls together so that you can get a much better perspective of what's going on. It's all part of the end-to-end integrated approach that I talk about. Service Management Center for System Z is the core strategy that pulls this together. Let's go to the next slide. It says IBM solutions that integrate via the Tivoli Enterprise Portal. A lot of technology plugs and plays just at the level of the Tivoli Enterprise Portal, or the TEP. If we're just looking at it from an operating system perspective, ZOS, NetView, Network, DB2, CICS, IMS, Storage, WebSphere, distributed monitoring, as well as ZOS monitoring, Linux on Z monitoring, ZVM, SMF data, automation, catalog management, scheduling, so many things plug into this Tivoli Enterprise Portal. The important thing to understand is that the portal is more than just a GUI front end to a Megamon. It's actually an integration component that ties together a lot of core Tivoli management technology and gives you that truly that integrated capability. So let's go to the next slide. It says Tivoli Enterprise Portal, the power of the portal. I do use the term the power of the portal. I really believe that strongly because the portal gives you the ability to have these kind of integrated views and use a single user interface kind of management paradigm to be able to monitor and manage a wide variety of components. So if you just recall the list we looked at on the prior slide, that's a very impressive list of components that plug into this Tivoli Enterprise Portal. So the portal, the TEP, enables the integrated technical views that I mentioned a few slides back. And so the integrated technical view is something that I very often build for a customer or show them how to build, because from that integrated technical view, which is really what we're looking at here, is we can then see CICS and DB2 and IMS and network and storage and distributed and ZVM, Linux on Z, all this stuff from a single window, and then drill in where necessary to do our problem analysis, do our root cause analysis. Now, the GUI view that I show here, the end-to-end management view, is a graphic screen that I built. The icons on the screen represent Omegamon monitoring that's putting status information on there, and then you see a few of the icons have gone red. So the icons highlight a problem. If we go to the next slide, it says situations highlight alert scenarios and provide drill-down detail for analysis. So in the classic technology, an alert is built on something we call an exception. When we talk to Tivoli Enterprise Portal, an alert is built off of a mechanism called a situation. So we could have a situation that's deployed. The situation will make icons go red, and then in turn you can put your cursor on the red icon and then you get the flyover that I highlight in the example on the upper left side, and then click on that and drill in and get the alert detail that I show on the lower right. The alert detail will give me a lot of information about what's happening at the time of the alert. You can also have customized expert advice. You can have predefined manual actions that can take place. All of this can happen within the situation alert. If you go to the next slide, it says Boolean logic capability of situations makes event management more meaningful and powerful. To me, this is the qualitative difference of using the Tivoli Enterprise Portal as your alert management paradigm. If you recall the examples we looked at with our classic and COA exceptions, those were largely, again, single metric alerts. CPU is above or below a certain level. Number of replies above or below a certain level. Good stuff, but you don't have the Boolean capability such as what we see here, wherein I can look at a specific number of get pages, a specific plan, specific auth IDs, specific elapsed times, correlate multiple events, have different levels of alerts for different types of applications. The ability to have a much more meaningful situation by using the Boolean capability of the situation editor to make a more meaningful alert, therein lies the core qualitative difference. The thing to always be aware of is any metric or column of information that's monitored via the Tivoli Enterprise Portal can be used in a situation. So your flexibility is huge. What this in turn then means is it gets you a lot closer to something I mentioned before, which is the ability to tune out noise and to make more meaningful alerts. And meaningful alerts are really essential to success in this type of an environment. You don't want to have a lot of chatter, a lot of noise, because chatter and noise tunes out really critical information in a lot of cases. You may miss an important alert because you're so busy weeding through the noise of a lot of meaningless ones. Let's go to the next slide. It says using situations to issue messages to the ZOS console. Situations, in and of themselves, are a great way to feed native automation simply by being able to, if a situation is true, then in turn be able to use the attribute substitution option. So if you click on the attribute button, such as what you will see in the situation editor, you can then pass attributes of information through the message string, like this example here, and I can actually format a message. So I can just say I'm saying Omega 1 test message, and then the last portion of the string is actually a situation variable, if you are an attribute, I should say, and that attribute then in turn is being put into the message string. So I can actually put in the message on the console. Not only is the EDM pool being exceedingly utilized, like in this example, but I can actually put the percentage on the message string. That way, then, it's a simple way to feed console automation, and that console automation will have the information it needs to then in turn drive the appropriate rex exec and take the appropriate logic. Very simple way to drive things, or if you just want to have a more meaningful alert, whatever it is, this is a great, simple, easy mechanism to use to drive that. Let's go to the next slide that says situations may be correlated with other situations. Now, OmegaMon and the Tivoli Portal in and of itself I do not position as a correlation engine. There are correlation capabilities that you can take advantage of within OmegaMon, and this is a good example of one. So in other words, I can make a response time alert, like here I have a demo RTA alert, that basically I'm looking at CICS response time and CPU percent as measured by ZOS, and if both of those are true, I'll then in turn drive my correlated alert. It's a good way to do kind of a first-level filter to tune out noise so that you're not sending as much traffic up the wire. And you can do a lot of things as well just using these basic techniques to highlight certain issues. But that being said, I do not want to position OmegaMon and the portal in and of itself as a correlation engine, but it does have some correlation and conditional capabilities that you can take advantage of. So let's go to the next slide. It says situations, general recommendations, rules of thumb. Make your situations meaningful, actionable, useful. Well, of course you want them to be useful, right? You want situations to be meaningful. You want the situation naming is flexible. So have some kind of a consistent standard, a naming convention. Use some names that are meaningful and understandable, even to perhaps a less technical kind of an audience, because it might be your first-level operations staff that sees that alert, and if you can make it meaningful to them, that might help in terms of getting the alert sent to the appropriate party for ultimate resolution. Have some type of a naming convention for your site. A lot of shops will put perhaps two or three characters on the front of the situation name so that you can easily see situations that were created by the user versus ones that are provided by the product. And actionable situations. What that means is that a situation, if it's going to generate an alert, should also then in turn have some type of a consequence and action. That consequence or action could be forwarding a message onto console automation or on the omnibus. That action could be expert advice there to drive some type of an automated or a manual correction, or driving an automated correction, whatever makes sense. Actionable means if I'm going to go to the trouble of having an alert, something should happen as a result. And then useful. Well, I guess if I'm going to make the alert, I want it to be useful. That has a certain inherent logic to it. You want to eliminate phony alert indicators, tune out the noise. All too often, I find that customers, once they see how easy it is to build situations and deploy them, tend to get maybe a little carried away and make more alerts than what you really need. There are certain things that are good to know, but they aren't necessarily things that you want to broadcast out in the form of an alert. For example, maybe it's good to know that you're not getting an optimal buffer pool hit ratio in DB2. But you may not necessarily need to get an alert on that, because you don't necessarily need to be paged at 3 o'clock in the morning about that. But there are other mechanisms in the Tivoli portal, for example, that you can use the use of color to highlight some of those numbers without having to drive a situation to notify that. So useful, to me, oftentimes indicates, and it could be just as simple as just asking the question, is this important enough that I need to be called about it? Is this important enough that I need to be called at 3 in the morning or paged or whatever about? That could be the ultimate acid test. So let's go to the next slide, Tivoli Enterprise Portal, advantages of TEP alert mechanisms. So here are basically the advantages. First and foremost, the most flexible way to go. Any monitored information, anything that's pulled up by any of these monitors that plug into the Tivoli portal can be used in an alert. It's easy to set the alerts. It's easy to create situations. It's easy to distribute situations because from a single point of control, you can then in turn distribute alerts out to whatever monitored managed systems are out there in the enterprise. You don't have to sneakernet around any code or copy things from one physical platform to another. If you have a managed system that's connected to the Tivoli Enterprise portal via some type of a Tivoli monitoring agent, you have the ability to build that situation and distribute it out. It's easy to use GUI technology. Each of the Omegamon monitors comes with a set of product-provided situations. There's automation capability that's integrated within the tool. And in general, you get a much superior monitoring as well as alert integration capability. The ability to have meaningful alerts gets you down to that ultimate bullet point there, superior problem isolation, root cause analysis. That's what it's about. The portal gives you so much flexibility. If you're serious about alerting, and if you're serious about generating performance-based alerts, the Tivoli Enterprise portal is a great way to feed that. Let's go to the next slide. It says, let the portal do the work of multiple classic screens. I just kind of threw this one in as an additional example. If you remember from several slides back where I had the example of multiple LPARs, each with its own classic screen monitoring a particular ZOS LPAR, part of the power of the portal is the ability to take multiple LPARs and put it on a single view, a single point of control. Like in this example here, we're looking at CPU, paging, NQs, alerts for multiple LPARs. But we're doing it from a single screen, a single point of control. That's what the power of the portal gives you, and that's what makes this technology, I think, very compelling. So let's go to the next slide, Civil Enterprise Portal, integrated command and automation capabilities. So we've talked a lot about classic portal, setting alerts, setting exceptions, the value of meaningful alerts, the different types of views, integrated technical views, the ability to drill down the detail, et cetera, et cetera. A lot of stuff from that regard. Now let's talk a little bit more about integration with automation and automated corrective actions. The Tivoli portal provides multiple command options. You can do a manual take action, wherein basically when an alert fires, a situation fires, you can select from a predefined set of actions, select one, click, enter, go, and issue a command. Works great, simple way to go. Situations themselves also contain the ability to issue commands automatically when the situation is true. But then there's also another mechanism called a policy, wherein you can issue multiple commands based upon, say, for example, a situation being true. And I'll show examples of each of these. The take action provides for manual command capability. Very, very straightforward way to go, and it's a good starting point. The situations, though, also give the ability to do more in that situations, as I said. I can do a single command based off the situation being true, or if continuing on down this slide here, policies allow for multiple steps, multiple checks, multiple actions. And policies on the final bullet point, as I mentioned, policies in a way, just kind of like I showed an example of a correlated situation, you can also, in certain ways, use a policy as a form, and I just say a form of event correlation. Again, I don't position the portal and these mechanisms as a correlation engine, but it is a good way to, in certain cases, filter out certain noise. So let's go to the next slide. It says basic policy, an example scenario. So here what we're looking at is I have a policy, and I say wait until the certain situation is true. The situation I'm waiting on is demo DB2 alert. If that's true, I'll issue the first action, and then if that action succeeded, I'll issue the second command, and then it loops back around and restarts. So a policy at its core is a basic way to determine is a situation true. If it's true, then in turn issue multiple commands, as opposed to, if you remember the earlier example where I showed a situation would just issue a single console command. Let's go to the next slide. Policy example, multiple situations, multiple commands. So in this case, I'm checking to see if DB2 alert is true. Then we'll go and we'll issue a command. Then we'll actually check an MQ alert. And then if that's true, then in turn issue a command. So here we're doing multiple checks, and we're doing multiple commands. And then, again, it'll loop back through, et cetera. So this is, in a way, a form of a correlation engine, although I don't want to overstate this, because one thing you do want to be aware of is that the DB2 check and the MQ check are technically separate discrete events. We're just looking at if both of those discrete events are true in this particular context. Go to the next slide. Integrated automation with SA for ZOS. We've talked about integration with system automation earlier in the form of how system automation can integrate at the classic interface level to issue classic commands, pull back results, check for classic exceptions. System automation also has the ability to integrate at the level of the portal technology via the SOAP interface and issue commands to activate, inactivate, get information, et cetera, from the Tivoli portal detail and pull that into the Rex logic as well. This just shows the simple scenario that kind of talks about how that can flow. So I just want to make you folks aware of that function as well. So integration to the automation engine can happen in multiple ways, just like you have the ability to do situations versus policies. There's an incredible amount of flexibility in terms of what you can do when we're talking native automation. So let's go to the next slide. It says considerations for automation, levels of automated actions. So from an automated action perspective, you can do your automation at the level of the situation, policy, at IBM system automation, automation engine. situations work well for what I call the basic fire and forget type actions. Detect an issue, issue a command, and then that's it. We're kind of done with it. It happened, it's over. Works well if we're just looking at a basic check. Policies may be used for multi-check, multi-command scenarios, like I showed in the prior example. However, fundamentally, when you get to a certain point, I don't want to position policies as an automation engine per se. It's really not that. If you need more robust automated actions, multiple commands, multiple steps, multiple checks, whatever, that's where you're really talking an automation engine. That's where you're talking IBM system automation or something of that nature. And then you want to use your situations and your policies to feed into that. That's usually the best way to go. So it really comes down to a decision point of what do I need. If I need just a basic, this is true, issue a command and I'm done, situation can work great. If I need to issue a couple of commands and then I'm done, policy might be your approach. If I need to do more robust automated actions, then you probably want to think about integration with an automation engine. So that kind of takes us to our next topic, which we go to the next slide. It says considerations for event correlation. So I've kind of alluded to this before. Event correlation basically helps to make the management of these complex applications easier and more manageable and more intelligent. The applications are complex. The infrastructure is complex. The alerting can be complex. You can get potentially a lot of alerts and a lot of events if we have a variety of monitoring technologies all feeding alerts. So correlation helps eliminate the noise. That's what I mentioned in the middle bullet point here. I want to tune out the false alerts because if I can tune out the noise, I can get to root cause analysis more quickly. It helps me identify issues more rapidly, and it reduces the overall time to resolve problems. So ultimately, at its core, event correlation is about being able to know that an event at one end of the application stream is connected to the database lockout back on ZOS and being able to pull the two events together and be able to know that one relates to the other and then filter out the noise of the other things that might be happening in the environment. So let's go to the next slide that says about IBM Tivoli NetCool Omnibus. NetCool Omnibus is, as it says here, the cornerstone of the IBM Consolidated Operations Management Solution. It's a real-time centralized monitoring capability in the sense that it really does a great job of managing and processing events, millions of events, 100 million events per day, like I mentioned on this slide here. It's really great in terms of being able to take events, correlate events, crunch them down, tune out the noise, correlate and filter things together. It truly is great as a correlation engine. Omnibus includes a couple hundred out-of-the-box probes, and so you feed information into Omnibus via these probe mechanisms, and then in turn, from there, you can take the events and crunch them down. So it truly has some unique and powerful manager-of-manager capabilities. So if you remember the slide I showed early on with the integrated management methodology at the highest level, your manager-of-manager may be NetCool Omnibus, or that in turn then feeding into TBSM. So going to the next slide, situation alerts may be forwarded to Omnibus. So with the Tivoli Enterprise Portal, you can create a situation. And if you have things set up appropriately, and I'll show you how you have to set things up to get this, you'll see an EIF tab that's enabled in the situation editor. What that means then is you can have the situation when it fires not only show up in the Tivoli portal, but also forward that event automatically onto Omnibus. So like in this example here, we can specify that we want the situation when it fires to go through this EIF interface. You can set different levels of severity that kind of match up with what happens in Omnibus, so the situation will be true in the TEP or the Tivoli Enterprise Portal, but you'll also see the event, like on the lowest portion of this slide, in Omnibus as well. So let's go to the next slide. Improving the integration, how does the TEP integrate with NetCool? Well, in this case, what we have is we have, at the bottommost level, we have Omegamon, we have automation, we have Omnibus, all they're doing their thing. And then in the middle portion of the slide, you see reference to what's called the EIF probe. So the EIF probe is basically, that's the event interface probe that's looking for events coming from either a Megamon or Automation or wherever, IBM System Automation, and sending that into Omnibus. Now, these actually are, the arrows go both ways, so these truly are bidirectional interfaces. And what this provides then is a simple mechanism to basically take alert situations, say from a Megamon, through the probe, put it in Omnibus so that I can see it in the TEP as well as in the NetCool event viewer. Works quite well, very easy to set up. So let's go to the next slide, enabling the EIF interface. If you don't enable the interface, when you bring up the portal, you won't see that EIF tab. So I thought I'd put a couple slides in just to point out how you go about enabling it. What we're looking at here is the IBM ICAT install CList interface. This is what you use to configure, say, for example, a Megamon on ZOS. So if you start out, you'll need to, in the upper left side, we have our TIL Enterprise Monitoring Server. We select that, and then what we'll do is we'll need to specify our configuration values, which is what we see in the next portion of the slide. If we go into that, then we'll get the panel that we see in the, on our next slide. So now I'm on the slide that says Enabling EIF Interface Continued. So we have a we have our configuration slide here, and I'm pointing at the F5 Advanced Push Button option. So you need to hit that, and this is why I kind of went to the trouble of putting these slides here, because I think it's kind of easy to miss. You select that, and then you'll see an option on the slide on the screen that comes up that says Enable Tevly EIF Integration Interface, or Facility, I should say. That's what this is. You need to set that to yes, and then you're in business. If we go to the next slide, Enabling the EIF Interface, Windows Hub Temps, similar kind of deal. You have to get into the Tivoli Monitoring Services window, right-click, reconfigure, and then select the EIF Integration Facility option from there. If you don't do this, then you will bring up the portal, but you won't see that EIF tab on the situation editor, and you'll be sitting there wondering, well, gee whiz, what's going on? So let's go to the next slide. It says a Megamon integration with Omnibus. When many environments, alerts are forwarded from the mainframe to Omnibus via SNMP traps. That's a good way to go. A lot of shops do that. The EIF interface, though, is more flexible, more integrated, in the sense that it's easy to set up the alerts and then forward them to EIF via situations. But more importantly, you can pass more detailed information. You have the ability to kind of map out what attributes of information will go from the situation to Omnibus using this technique. So given the two scenarios, using the EIF interface is always going to be the more robust scenario because I can pass more information. I can pass more detailed information. And that's the better way to go, is the ability to take advantage of that mapping. So let's go to our last slide, which says pulling it all together. So Megamon Classic provides a basic set of alert functions. Classic alerts, as I said, though, are limited to those provided by the Megamon tool. So it's a good way to start, and that is kind of low-tech, simple to deploy. You can create some alerts very quickly and easily, just logging on to the 3270 interface. But you're limited in terms of what you can get and what you can set. The Tivoli Enterprise Portal, far and away, provides the most robust alert capabilities, because there you get situations, you get policies. That's where you can make more meaningful alerts, more robust alerts. You have then automated functions that come integrated within the situations. You can then do some basic, what I call basic event correlation. And this is where you can get more value in that you can tune out the noise and focus on what the real issues are. The most robust event correlation, though, is done by a true correlation engine such as Omnibus. Omnibus can handle millions of events a day. Omnibus can handle feeds from a variety of sources, SNMP, EIF interface, you name it. There's hundreds of ways to feed into Omnibus. Omnibus may then in turn feed the business view. So at some point, you can do a lot of correlation and things with a Megamon, but ultimately, if you want to get that true end-to-end integrated business view, you're probably looking at some type of a manager of managers, such as an Omnibus, a TBSM, something of that nature. So that's it. We've covered quite a bit. I want to thank everyone for their time, your attention, and I'll be happy to handle questions. Thank you, and have a good day. Thank you.
Thank you, Ed. Now we'd like to ask you to participate in a brief electronic survey. Right after the survey, we'll have a live Q&A session with the presenter. Your feedback is important to us, and we do appreciate the time you take to answer these few questions. To participate, simply press the star key, followed by the number that best corresponds to your choice. Please listen to all options before making your selection. Please evaluate the level of satisfaction with today's teleconference. If it was high, press star 1. If it was medium, press star 2. If it was low, press star 3, and polls are open. Question 2 was the level of technical information presented in this teleconference. If it was at the right level, press star 1. If it was not technical enough, press star 2. If it was more technical than I needed to hear, press star 3. Please vote now. Question 3, have you integrated OmegaMon alerts with NetView or system automation tool? If yes, press star 1. If no, press star 2. Please vote now. Thank you for your response. Number 4, have you integrated OmegaMon alerts with trouble ticketing system? If yes, press star 1. If no, press star 2. Next polling question, what is your current enterprise event console? If it's Tivoli NetCool, press star 1. If it's HP Operations Service Center, press star 2. See Event Manager, star 3. None of the above, star 4 at this time. Now, we hope you've enjoyed the teleconference today. Please let us know if you're interested in receiving additional information or follow-up regarding the products discussed today. Star 1 for yes, and star 2 for no. Okay, polls are closed now. Thank you for your participation in the polling session. Now to move on to questions, to ask a question at this time, please press the star key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone at any time. As we wait for questions, I'd like to turn the call back to our speaker. Mr. Woods, I'll turn it back to you.
Great, thanks a lot. I just want to say, wow, covered a lot of material there, a lot of content, a lot of information. I'm sure someone will probably have some questions. I'll be more than happy to address whatever questions you may have, because we certainly talked about quite a bit, 3270 interfaces, portals, NetCool, integration, automation, you know, a large variety of technologies.
James Belva, your line is open. You may ask your question.
Hi, Ed. Excellent presentation. I had a question on slide 26. You know, you mentioned about DE, and I support many customers, and I've gotten confused over the years how they've packaged a MegaView and then with DE, and if a customer does not have DE or, you know, a MegaView, what limitations will they have in the test?
If you do not have DE enabled, then you will not be able to make multi-agent views. So in other words, you won't be able to make a view that has like Z, DB2, and Kix all on the same physical screen. You also won't have all the graphic capabilities, and you also will not have policies. Now, that being said, usually if the customer has some distributed monitoring, some Windows, Linux monitoring, whatever, then usually DE is included as part of the enablement, thereby just for that basis. But if we're talking purely ZOS, then DE is a separately chargeable component. And if you have DE, you also therefore have the right to run the OmegaView, which is the for lack of a better way to put it, the legacy 3270 integration piece.
Right.
If that all makes sense.
Sure. Now, if your hub TEMS is running on ZOS, would the DE and a MegaView need to reside on that hub TEMS in order to enable all that functionality?
No, you don't have to. You can still put the hub on you know, Windows or whatever. There's not a technical limitation. It's more just a kind of a licensing thing. I mean, when you really boil it down.
Right, but say you know, I'm running a strictly ZOS environment.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to invoke those capabilities of DE, we would need that product license on the same image where the hub temps resides?
Would it have to be technically for the same image as where the hub resides? Technically you could run that copy, for example, of a MegaView anywhere on the environment. That's a licensing as opposed to a contract, or as opposed to a technical thing. So I'm reluctant to just say is the answer to that yes. You know, I don't really know. I would have to check on that. Shoot me an email on that, and I'll be happy to follow up on that. That's an interesting question.
Okay.
My email is woodse, woodse, at us.ibm.com.
Thanks, Ed.
Sure.
Thank you. Our next request from Monsieur Kumar. Your line is open.
Hi. This is Matu from IBM.
Hi.
And I have a query with the IPM, which is linked to our OmegaMon XE. And I can able to view the CICS regions over IPM server, but not over OmegaMon CICS. So do we need to validate somewhere in place?
In order to be able to see CICS monitoring information in the Tivoli Enterprise portal, which is what I understand your question to be, there is, in addition to the base 3270 task that you use to monitor CICS on your ZOSL PAR, there is also typically what we call an agent address space that you would have to start up. That agent address space is what gathers information from the OmegaMon and from CICS and forwards it into the Tivoli portal displays. If that task is not running or has not been enabled, then you won't see anything.
The task is enabled as, the temps is enabled over the ITM server and not over the mainframes. We are not using the temps over mainframes. We are using the temps which is there in the ITM server.
Okay, right. And to be technically precise on this, if you're running OmegaMon on ZOS, you will typically have some form of a TEMS address space running on each LPAR. Now, how you configure that TEMS, there are two forms of TEMS. One is called the hub, which is the central one that everything connects to. That hub can run on Z or can run on Linux, Unix, Windows, wherever. But then also on each LPAR at minimum, you would probably have what we call a remote TEMS. That remote TEMS will do some ZOS monitoring plus other monitoring agents that reside on that LPAR, such as CICS, DB2, et cetera, will broker information through that. That's usually how it's configured. So to be precise, you know, might be a question of where is your hub TEMS residing at.
Okay, so is it better to have the hub as the type?
It's really, there are advantages and disadvantages in terms of where you place your hub TEMS. That could come down to how you want to do security. So maybe I want to do full RACF security, so I might put my hub on Z. Maybe I want to have more flexibility in terms of where I position the hub, and I don't necessarily want to have a dependence on Z because maybe my orientation for monitoring is more geared towards monitoring from a Linux, Unix, Windows perspective. So maybe I'll put my hub on a Linux box, or maybe I'll put it on a Unix box. Every customer has different requirements. Everybody does it a little differently. From a core function standpoint, it's pretty much the same regardless of where you place it. It's really, you know, it really comes down to preference in a lot of cases.
Okay. I'll just verify from my end. Thank you so much. And that was a good presentation. Thank you.
Our next request from Rajnish Tiwari. Your line is open now.
Hello.
Please. Yes.
Go ahead.
Hello.
Hello. Go ahead with your question, please.
Yeah. I have one question. Can we use, we are using OmegaMon for tap CPU utilization does this. So MQTAP that you told about, TAP Tivoli, so is this like a different one or the same thing? Like it's a similar identity or different identity?
Okay, so what I understood your question is you're using a MegaMon.
No, I'm confused about OmegaMon or TAP.
Oh, okay. Well, the TAP Enterprise Portal is part of the OmegaMon product. So when you get OmegaMon ZOS, you have 3270, and you also have support for Tivoli Portal. So you can use either interface, you can use both. So, you know, if you're using the Tivoli Portal, you know, then you can always, that's just part of the product. When you install OmegaMon ZOS or CICS or DB2, you get support for both pieces.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
My last request at this time is from Mohan Bell. Your line is open.
Hi, this is Mohan from XCL.
Hello.
I would like to know how fast the companies or the people are adapting to this correlated event management.
How fast people are reacting? I mean, are you asking how quickly customers are adopting this approach? Is that what you're asking me?
Yep.
And I don't have specific numbers that I can cite, but I am seeing much more interest in a lot of my customers in this type of approach because many shops have to get out of this silo approach. Wherein, you know, you're only looking at, say, if I'm only looking at CICS or I'm only looking at DB2 or I'm only looking at Unix or whatever and getting to something that's more integrated. That's an issue, I would say, in the majority of shops that I work with nowadays. Different customers take it to different levels. Some might want to just build an integrated technical view and stop there. A lot of the customers I'm working with now have deployed some form of a manager of managers, be it Omnibus or be it some other technology, and are at least doing event management. Now, taking it to the next level, which is your business management, now probably fewer customers are doing that, although more customers are exploring that option. That's, you know, taking it to the level of business application management, that's kind of like the next level up. But at base, doing some kind of an event management, I'm seeing quite a bit of interest there.
Okay. So you were saying that there is something called the manager of manager views, right?
Mm-hmm.
So is that something that gives a business a high-level overview for them, like the applications and connectivity and all those things?
Well, that high-level overview could be provided, say, for example, by TBSM. You get a certain level of overview just with the GUI that you get with your base Omnibus. You can also do that overview as well using the Tivoli Enterprise Portal. It really just comes down to, you know, I think what your feeds are, what your data sources are, and where it makes sense to place it. There's no one way to do it, and I've seen it done different ways in different shops.
Yeah, great. Thank you, and have a good day.
Thank you very much.
As I have no further questions in queue, sir, I would like to turn it back to you for closing remarks.
Okay. Well, I just want to thank everyone for your time, your attention. I had fun putting this material together. I enjoyed the questions, having a chance to talk to you all, and we're going to continue to do more of these, and so I just want to say thank you and have a good day.